Certainly is a privilege to be with you this morning, to be back at Macedonia after Brother Virgil mentioned it's been quite a few years since I was here last, and I do appreciate the introduction and the humble prayer. We're thankful for that and ask that you would continue in prayer for us as we stand before you. We certainly have great interest in your prayers. We make attempt to read from his word, and we certainly don't want to misrepresent the truth in any manner. But it's good to be back, as I said, and to get reacquainted and to see all the wonderful saints here at Macedonia and all the wonderful pews filled with young people. That's certainly a great joy to see. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful that my family came with me this time, and I certainly have been asking them for prayer for the meeting. And they, when they go places with me, they always, or if it's just, you know, my son goes with me sometimes by just the two of us, and or if it's all of us together, they always want to talk about if I try to tell a joke and I get crickets, you know, so they're going to be interested to see if I get any laughs today or anything if I try to tell any jokes. So we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. But I do appreciate the words of the humble prayer, because we certainly hope and pray that the Lord will take charge of this center that stands before you and use me as a vessel to bring forth his wonderful truths. Yeah. And to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we put all our trust in him. And I know that I have a great interest in your prayers as this weak sinner that is before you. You know, when we're reading, try to pray and be cautious that I'm not seeking after something new, because there's nothing new in there, or seeking any kind of glory from man. But that, as the brother mentioned, that we're here for the purpose of giving God all the praise and the glory that he is so justly due. And we hope and pray that's what we'll be able to enjoy. We've enjoyed the singing. I enjoyed the singing very much. It's very beautiful. Be thankful to the Lord that he's blessed y'all with wonderful voices, and be able to join y'all's voices together to make a joyful noise unto him. Very pretty to hear the singing, and the meeting house is certainly beautiful, and we certainly hope and pray that the Lord will shower down his mercy upon us. I think I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I don't know that we'll stay here, but I do have a few scriptures on my mind, maybe a little bit back in chapter 2 as well. But the beginning of chapter 3 begins, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" They're holding on. Y'all know, well acquainted with the church at Corinth and all the trouble that they had. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, But God that giveth the increase. And a verse that I like to hold on to in this, and it's at the end of that, one of the reference scriptures that's at the end in this Bible that I have. Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But one of the words that's been on my mind, and if the Lord would bless us, we might end up going back into some other scriptures that I have been trying to read on and dwell on over the past probably 2 or 3 weeks. My family may have heard me may have heard me preach on some of it if they've been with me over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But he mentions their milk in the second verse. And we know that Peter mentions milk. We know that milk is mentioned along with meat over in the letter to the Hebrews. If we Google milk, you can Google the health benefits of milk, and it'll give you a long list of articles to read. And then you can Google, why is milk unhealthy? And it'll give you a long list of all these reasons. But Scripture, brothers and sisters, if we go all the way back, those are things that man puts in front of us. And I believe that we know that as humans, as men and women, that we are still trying to understand what these bodies are able to do. We understand creation, understanding that of science. But brothers and sisters, God knows all things. And we can go back into Scripture over in the Old Testament over there when he was bringing the his children. And y'all know that it was his children, brothers and sisters, because he chose them. They were not the most numerable. They weren't the strongest. They weren't the greatest soldiers or the greatest warriors. But brothers and sisters, they were his children because he loved them. Which lines exactly up with Scripture that says we over here, way back or towards the back over here in John, that says we love him because he first loved us.
That's right. Amen.
And what does he tell them he's going to do? He brings them out of Egypt and he brings them over across the Red Sea into that of the wilderness and he calls out 12 spies. He gets one from each tribe and they go out into the land. And what was it? It was a land that he had promised to their forefathers. He had promised it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And he tells them to go over and to spy out the land. What is it? What are they going to do if they have to spy it out? They're going to have to look at it, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
They're going to have to see it. They're going to have to be able to look on what? He called it a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now they didn't find, I don't find where they found any rivers of milk over there or rivers of honey flowing. But multiple times we can go back in Scripture where he tells them that I have called you out and I will send you. I am going to send you into this land that flows and that floweth with milk and honey. And when the spies came back over there, I think about the 13th chapter. Let me flip over. About the 13th chapter in Numbers over there. He tells them, let me pick up a few verses there in the 13th chapter. Verse 18, notice what it says. Well, he says in 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land. What it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. You'll find that a consistent theme as we go through, as you read through Deuteronomy and over into Joshua after the time of Moses has come to an end, and Joshua takes them across that of the Red Sea, or the Jordan. Be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now, brothers and sisters, I hadn't figured out yet. I enjoy trying to picture a cluster of grapes that needs two people to carry with staves, because that's the grapes that they brought out of this promised land. They plucked off a cluster of grapes and put it on staves between two men to tote it back. Now that's the fruit.
Yeah.
That's some fruit, brothers and sisters. He told them down in when they returned, and y'all know the story, as they returned that they brought back all except for two. They brought back an evil report. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, stilled the people to tell them what they had found, and that they would be able, by the grace of God, to go up into this land.
Yeah.
And in 27, they told him, and they said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Shows it to him, brothers and sisters. Y'all know that in the old scriptures, that there are so many types and shadows of Jesus Christ. Types and shadows and patterns of the Lord's church that we're able to, brothers and sisters, I'll just say, enjoy when He reveals it to us. Now, we can't force it in there, but brothers and sisters, when He reveals unto us something by the way of comfort and peace that He is, one of the questions that my oldest daughter loves to ask me, and I've had some elders give her some good answers through the last couple of years. How is God always there? Now, the Lord hadn't blessed me with an answer that satisfies her yet. She keeps asking the question. Now, a couple other elders that she's asked has given her answers that she likes a little bit better. But brothers and sisters, God was not created. Jesus was not created. Much to the disappointment of what some people try to believe and teach, that He is eternal, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He was not created.
No.
Go back into Genesis 1, and John 1 will echo exactly what took place over there when God, in Genesis 1, parted the light from the darkness, and He said, "Let there be light," brothers and sisters. What was that that came forth from His mouth? I can't even imagine the words that I would speak, taking on the body of flesh, and not one time being disobedient to what I charged Him to do, brothers and sisters. But I'm man. I'm full of sin. I'm full of sinful flesh. But Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Him. The Word was Him. And without Him, there was not anything made. And brothers and sisters, that Word took on a body of flesh.
Amen.
There is no creation needed, brothers and sisters. He is eternal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I don't even know where I'm getting here, but let me flip over to John chapter 3. I want to read a very familiar account to you, I'm sure, no doubt. And we'll just grab one verse. Y'all know that in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he asks him, he tells him, I said, "Well, I mean, we know that by what you're able to do, you got to become from God, got to be blessed by God, because no man can do all these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Can't see it.
That's right.
Now, brothers and sisters, that fruit was ever present right there in front of them. Whenever those spies went over. But Caleb and Joshua, they were the, now you think about situations that we get in when we're outnumbered, right? Yeah, when we're outnumbered, we're primitive Baptists, we're outnumbered a good bit, aren't we?
That's right.
Yeah. And a situation where we're outnumbered, but we stand our ground.
Right.
Not willing to move off of a point where we stand steadfast in what we believe to be right, what we believe to be according to the truth, and in this manner, according to thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus, except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom. Brothers, sisters, Joshua and Caleb couldn't see that milk flowing. Well, they could see the milk flowing. They could see the milk and honey. They stood firm on what Moses had told them to do. And they came back. And while 10 of them brought back an evil report, 2 of them said, we can go up.
Yeah.
And you know, those 2 were the only 2 from that group. And from that group and their families that were 20 years of age and older that made it across Jordan. Y'all already know that. Because that's how long they walked in the wilderness until they were out there 40 years. But it was also those that were brought back the evil report until they passed on. And the young ones, that's where you get Deuteronomy. You get a good repeat. You get a review of everything that Moses had started. And then you get the younger generation that is approaching Jordan. All right, let's go through this thing again. Let's remind everybody what we need to be doing. Except a man be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me flip to Matthew chapter 13. And this is the parable of the sower. I got 2 glasses of water in here to go through this. That's good. That gives me plenty of time. My dad liked to tell him when he travels with me that if they give you a big glass or a big bottle, you got plenty of time. If they give you a little bottle, a little short glass, that means keep it short, you know. So, and I had a sister, a dear old sister that passed on just this past year, that she used to get on me for what, looking at my watch. She said, the Lord will tell you when to sit down. I said, don't you worry about your watch. So I'm glad. So she just about broke me wearing a watch. I don't have one on, so I'm glad y'all got a clock up there. I can keep my eyes on it. We certainly don't want to stand too long. But the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, he goes through the parable, and then they begin to, and the disciples ask him, you know, so what are you speaking in parables for? He tells them in 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. In hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Isn't it precious, brothers and sisters, to be able to witness the fruit? We were singing that song, Marching to Zion. And it mentions in there, long before we get to the heavenly streets, that there'll be 1,000 sweets that we partake of. Brothers and sisters, I like sweets just like everybody else, but that's not the sweets that we get at the table. Or get for dessert. But there is something sweet that cannot be replaced by anything that man can dream up, by anything that man can fashion, any type of a way of manipulating, trying to manipulate. I can't manipulate God's word, brothers and sisters. It's here, set, settled, finished, and done.
Yeah.
But what man will try to do by the deceptions from Satan is to try to draw away God's people.
Yeah.
Try to steal the joy of the Lord's people. Try to steal the joy from the Lord's people of God's salvation. But he said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Let me flip over and grab another one from back where we started in Corinthians. Let me read chapter 2 and read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he told him over there, brothers and sisters, that blessed are your eyes for they see, blessed are your ears because they hear. What do we get to enjoy? We don't have to wait, brothers and sisters. We're waiting for our home. We're waiting for something that we'll never leave when we're able to walk the streets of glory. But brothers and sisters, contrary to what man wants to teach, there's something for us to enjoy right here in this time world. The streets of Zion, the hills of Zion, brothers and sisters, the rivers of milk and honey that flow. And I'm getting away from the milk a little bit. Let me go back over into some scripture. If the Lord will bless us for a little while, I just want to grab a little bit of scripture. Because when we think about milk, brothers and sisters, and look at all the young people in the crowd today, and look at all the mothers, and God bless you, and all these wonderful children, you parents, may the Lord be with you. And continue to bless you to raise the young next generation. This is where they're supposed to be, is right here. Whenever the meeting house is open, that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We don't know what God is going to speak to one little one. We don't have to send them out anywhere, brothers and sisters. God is able to speak to the youngest one here and the oldest one here. He is the one that is able to feed. Not Paul and Apollos, brothers and sisters, but it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
We know, y'all know, that the young babe starts off with milk.
That's right.
Doesn't start him off with steak. You know, because he ain't got any teeth. She ain't got any teeth yet. What do we start off with? Milk.
That's right.
What does it do? It begins to build the structure. The bones are what benefits. The bones are what begins to grow so that the rest of the body can have structure to it. Can have something firm and the foundation. Brothers and sisters. That then as we begin, as Scripture teaches us, we can go over in Hebrews over there about, I think, chapter 5. And it talks about the milk and the meat. Right? Because Jesus told them over in Matthew, said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not that we're sitting idle, but we're always growing. Searching the Scriptures. Trying to learn. But not forgetting the milk. Not forgetting the structure, brothers and sisters. And there can be, you know, milk to one person can be meat to somebody else.
Yeah.
And meat to one person can be milk to somebody else. I've been to some meetings and said, man, I love what he was preaching. I don't quite understand it, but I need to chew on it a little bit.
Yeah.
I need to go home and study on it a little bit because I enjoy it. I don't quite grasp it yet. But brothers and sisters, this thus saith the Lord. It's according to him. We know what Paul wrote to Timothy. And Peter wrote, right? No scripture is of any private interpretation. But look at what chapter 1 in Matthew says. And she shall bring forth a son. This is the angel talking to Joseph. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got a whole lot in there that we love, don't we? I mean, we talk about old Baptists. We talk about, well, let's get some. We're gonna wear out Romans 8. We're gonna wear out Ephesians 1 and 2. Well, brothers and sisters, we can wear out some scripture all over the place if we stay in it enough. At Matthew chapter 1, is those. Look at all the shouts, right? That's what we're hard on, right? We love the shouts.
Yeah.
And he says there that she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Brothers and sisters, does that change? Let me flip over and grab a few scriptures from John. Let me go to John 17. Jesus praying to the Father here. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. There's the answer. Now, that's not going to satisfy anybody. That's not going to satisfy somebody out in the world. But that will satisfy a little child of God.
Yes, sir.
A little born-again child of God that's been converted to the truth, brothers and sisters. We'll read that. We'll hear that. We'll dwell on that. We'll drink that. And chew on that, brother.
Yeah.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Let me flip to another one. It goes right along with what we read in Matthew 1. This is John chapter 10. Jesus speaking again. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Notice it doesn't say that ye are not of my sheep because ye believe not. But it says ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. There's not one a goat that'll be changed to a sheep, brothers and sisters. We're God's before the foundation of the world in the covenant of the grace. And that's the milk, brothers and sisters. That's the sweetness of it. Of the covenant of grace. And it was unanimous between the three in one. Before the foundation of the world, that he had a people, and that he sent Jesus Christ because of our sins and our transgressions, and he came and took on the body of flesh in this world, and he walked the low ground of sin and sorrow. And remember what scripture says: for the joy that was before him, he endured the suffering. Brothers and sisters, oh, the suffering that he, the joy that was before him. Remember, we've all had something that we just weren't sure. You know, I don't know if I want to do that or not, but I don't know if I want to go through with that. Jesus Christ did not. They didn't have to drag him.
No.
They didn't have to take him kicking and screaming. Right? You know, we tell our kids to do something. You know, time to clean up, time to do this, time to get ready, time to go to school. Boy, you really got to pry. You know, you got to get a crowbar out and wedge him and get him going.
Yeah.
You know. But I tell you what, Jesus didn't need that. Not one time did he step outside of the will of the Father.
No.
We do. And you could go back over into the Old Testament again. And the children of Israel that came, that he brought out of Egypt. We're talking about making choices. Well, we want to make the choices that are in accordance with his will. They didn't. They made a poor choice. And they suffered for it. But what did God do? He still blessed them through their bad decision. The shoes didn't wear out. They complained about no water. Here comes the water out of the rock. Talk about another type in a shadow. They complained about, they loathed the light bread, the manna that they had every day, and they wanted meat. Well, they got meat. They got so much quail, they didn't want to see another quail. They got, it was about knee deep and however far you could see of quail. They didn't want any more. Look at what he says. Let's go back to chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And remember the power that we read in chapter 17. God gave Christ the power that he should give eternal life to as many as God, as the Father, hath given him. And now Jesus says that my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Brothers and sisters, the milk of it, the structure that will never be changed, the simplicity of the gospel. Can you lose your salvation? Scripture specifically says no.
No.
I can't do anything about it if I wanted to.
No.
I don't know why I would want to. Once the light has shined on a poor sinner, brothers and sisters, and we lay aside the darkness, and we walk the straight and narrow, and we err to the right and to the left, but Jesus will draw us back into the light. He says, no man's greater, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. We can't pluck ourselves. Can we lose our salvation? This eternal one. Now, we can ruin some timely salvation right here by making similar decisions that the children of Israel did.
Yeah.
When we're blessed to see, brothers and sisters, when we're blessed to feed on the fruit and witness the fruit, of a little child of God. So, you know what? They used to not come to meeting, but man, that door's open there every time now. They're there every time. That's what John the Baptist called the Pharisees out, the scribes out that came to be baptized. Where's this fruit? I don't see any fruit from you. Fruits of repentance. He's greater than all. And Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Let me go to John chapter 6 and read another one from Jesus. And this is, and I like this verse in verse 36. Because when we think back, when we think back to Jesus walking on this earth, and everybody that met him, king and a queen that's with him, and with all the crowds that were around him, and they witnessed the miracles. And the Pharisees and the scribes that would challenge him and ask him questions, trying to trip him up. He says right here in verse 36 in chapter 6, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They were standing right in front of him. Right in front of him.
Yeah.
Surely, I'd recognize him, right? You know, I'd pick him out of a crowd. No, brother, sister, we couldn't pick him out of a crowd. How many times did he slip away?
Yeah.
But blessed that whenever they tried to take him up because they didn't want him teaching of the things that he was teaching or preaching of the gospel, brothers and sisters, how many times did they try to lay hands on him? But it wasn't his time, according to the Father. But blessed are your eyes, for thou hast seen. And blessed are your ears, for thou hast heard. What have we heard? Well, there's a still small voice. There's a still small voice that talks to God's little ones. Remember, Saul of Tarsus and Paul gets preached so much. Such a great example. I mean, how many lessons can we get from Saul on the road to Damascus? And all of a sudden, I mean, this individual was a respected authority.
Yeah.
A Pharisee, a Roman citizen, brothers and sisters, educated. I mean, he would have been, we like this individual. And he was going there for the purpose of binding Christians, those that profess Jesus Christ, and bringing them back to Jerusalem. But there was one that got a hold of him, brothers and sisters, that no man has power to pluck ourselves out of. And his response was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Uh-huh.
What wilt thou have me to do? He says, he continues in 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
Shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Brothers and sisters, there's another shall for you. All that the Father giveth. See, Jesus didn't collect. He didn't shed blood for one more or one less than what they already knew before the foundation of the world. But he knew exactly everyone by name. Says he knows the very hairs of your head. Brothers and sisters, he knows us by name. As you go back into the Old Testament under the law, and you remember what the priest, how he would go behind the veil. You know what he was wearing? He was wearing the names of every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Only whenever he went. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ knows everyone that he died for. God ain't up there biting his tail saying, well, we'd like this one, but we sure hope he doesn't turn and go the other direction. Right? They're not nervous. They're not nervous. They're not hoping, brothers and sisters. We have hope. We have hope. They gave us faith, hope, and charity, and charity is the greatest of the three. There'll be no need for the other two whenever we're in glory. We'll see him, brothers and sisters, and we'll know him as he knows us. Is that not something sweet?
Yes,
is that not something precious, brothers and sisters? Is that not something that we can stand firm and strong on? They always want to say, well, if the number he said right here, what we just read, that as many as the Father has given me, and people talk about, well, you're worried about either you got to do something. The list is getting longer and longer of all the different options and all the different avenues of how we can figure out a way to get to heaven, or all the things that we need to be worried about. Preaching fear, trying to scare and discourage God's little ones. No, brothers and sisters, the comfort is that Jesus has done everything. That's the peace and the comfort of it. That if we get drawn away, you know, one of the scriptures that what time y'all quit around here? I still got I don't know how much time I got, but let me pick up some scriptures and I don't want to delve into these, but I just want to grab a couple of words. In 2 Peter chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter, we'll pick up in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's enough for us to hold on to right there.
That's right.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what that all is? That's the same all that Jesus Christ died for on the cross. There's not one more. There's not one that'll be left out. We've already talked about that. Imagine, brothers and sisters, the people that want to teach God's little children that if you don't do this, you're going to lose what Jesus Christ died for. Brothers and sisters, he didn't shed his blood in vain. And you imagine, it says that Christ loved us, that God loved us. He loved us before we loved him. And there's going to be one missing. Is he going to be sad and disappointed in heaven? He loved us. Well, God loves everybody. Because that scripture plainly teaches that both places are going to be inhabited. Eternal heaven is going to be inhabited. And eternal hell is going to be inhabited.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters. And I can tell you that there won't be any down in that place that Jesus died for, shed blood for, that was supposed to be up there. Because if he loved them, then he'll be disappointed that they're not with him. And there will be no disappointment in heaven. There'll be none.
No.
We sing hymns about how wonderful a place it's going to be. He says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Says it's going to come as a thief in the night, but it's the day of the Lord. Now we can go on right there. You look down in verse 12. It says, nevertheless, we according to this promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Seeing your eyes have been blessed, and hearing your ears. See, we can dig in. Everybody wants to dig in, and let's go back to Isaiah, and let's go back to Ezekiel, and let's pick up some Zechariah and some Daniel, and try to really figure out when this thing's going to come to an end, and what we need to do to put ourselves in the best place possible. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to come on us as a thief in the night. If we look at what it says in Thessalonians, in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Who? The brethren? The sisters? The saints? We're walking in the light of Christ. We're walking in the light of Christ. Now we get sidetracked, or at least I do. I can talk about myself. I get sidetracked too often and get wandered down into the briars and wandered down into the darkness. But brothers and sisters, that light's there. And we can listen to all kind of theories and all kind of preaching. And my son told me the other day, he's been asking me a lot of questions about scripture, and been doing a lot of reading. And I love it because he challenges me. I'm like, man, I don't know. That's a good question. Need to study on that a little bit. And he says I'm kind of interested in studying more about the history of it and the theology of it. I said, that's good. Do it. But if somebody starts teaching you something that's not according to this, whoa.
Yeah.
Rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
There is no error.
No.
We can put the error in it. We make the error. But there's no error in his gospel.
No.
It's right. It's not dividing truth from error, but it's rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
We listen to all the people that say, well, you got to be prepared for this and you got to be prepared for that. But brothers and sisters, if we're marching to Zion, if we're on the road to Zion, brothers and sisters, that's a beautiful road. We enjoy the love that flows from breast to breast. We enjoy the meeting time. And the people will ask me, said, well, what do you do? Y'all got 6 preachers and 8 preachers and 10 preachers and a big meeting over about 3 or 4 days. How in the world do you do that? Well, brothers and sisters, I can tell you what, we can preach till we blue in the face. But the ones that have God's Spirit dwelling in them will find that joy and that comfort. Man, I want to hear it. Yeah. Man, I want to hear it preached. And, you know, you can go from, and God has blessed men with all different types of delivery. And I've heard the brethren say, it'd be pretty boring if everybody preached the same way. But he's blessed men with all types of different delivery. But a little child of God that's hungering will look past the delivery and look at what's being preached.
Amen.
The delivery is good. It could be enjoyable, but what's being preached?
Yeah.
What's the truth that's come? What's the message that's coming across, brothers and sisters? He says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Remember, he separated the light from the darkness. The darkness comprehended it. You know, Scripture will teach us that if ye be in Christ, if we be in Christ, we are a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Christ is light, not children of the darkness. Children of the light. Children of Jesus Christ. And I've heard some wonderful scriptures from brethren. You know that they say you go to a meeting and you may hear a minister say, well, what I've got on my mind is Romans 8, or Romans. I went to a meeting one time where one of the ministers, we were there that morning, and one of the ministers got up and preached on Romans 8. Next one got up and preached on Romans 9. And the third one got up and said, well, Romans 10 wasn't on my mind, but since we've heard 8 and 9, let's go to 10. And it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. But brothers and sisters, we don't want to forget the milk.
No.
Right? We can get all tied up. If our structure's off, we can get all tied up into a bunch of meat that will draw us to the left or to the right. But if we stay firm on the foundation of Christ, if you go back over into, I think it's the same place we started over there in Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. Think about this wonderful meeting house that you have and all the stones that have been laid on top of one another.
Yep.
That fit together for the purpose of remaining in place, of staying where they have been put, not moving, not beginning to wobble, not coming out of place, brothers and sisters. What comes out of place is something, a stone that has been laid on something other than Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that will wobble. Those are the ones that will lean to the right or to the left. But brothers and sisters, the chief cornerstone, the one that's laid. We used to do, we're still doing, I guess, but we used to do more than we did. But we'd build and y'all probably have a lot more of them up here with all the hills and the foothills like we are, the segmental block walls. We build them down on the coast down there as flat land. They're not near as the size that they are up here. But when they build, there's so much development, they got to build the houses up so far above sea level. Then you got their yards are running off into the wetlands and into the trees and killing all the trees they're trying to save. So they build retaining walls to hold everything up. But you got to start with a good base. It's going to end up in the wetlands. I've seen them end up in the wetlands because the base is not right. The foundation is not set. I want to read some scripture, get out of the way. In the 66th chapter of Isaiah, starting in verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Can you see Jerusalem today? Spiritual Jerusalem. You can see it. We don't have to get on a plane and figure out how many people we're going to be able to fit in geographical Jerusalem before the end of time. But spiritual Jerusalem. And be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. That ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Now I know, because we've got four of them. Y'all got many, all these beautiful young people here. But when one gets full in the middle of the night, when it's time to feed, they've gotten the milk that they need. Oh, the peace that comes across their face. And they're able to go back to sleep, able to go back into comfort and into joy. A land that flows with milk and honey, brothers and sisters. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He established. Man didn't set it up, brothers and sisters. He's charged us to continue on the foundation which He's already laid. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's church, and we're able to turn aside from whatever we do for 4 or 5 or 6 days a week for a little bit of time. And it goes by fast. I'm sitting there listening to the singing, and I said, man, this thing's coming to an end. I'm enjoying it so much. It flies by. Mm-hmm. That's what we tell the kids. Well, vacation seems so much faster. Summer, those 3 months of summer go by faster than the 9 months of school. Time flies when you're having fun. Church is fun. Church is fun. Church is enjoyable, brothers and sisters. When we're able to embrace one another, we're able to hear the songs of Zion. We're able to hear a sweet prayer from a brother and know that the sisters are praying in their hearts. Brothers and sisters, that is a comforting thing when we all come together the same way. Sinners, brothers and sisters, but saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
The milk is so precious. It's so sweet. It gives us the structure. Let's grow into the meat and chew on it. Y'all pray for me that I can chew on a little meat and continue to grow and learn. If you've heard anything that's been a benefit, give God all the praise and the glory. Thank you for your kind attention. Please pray for us that we'll have a safe travel home.